لا الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم على بينة من ربكم ما لم تظهر فيكم سكرتان سكرة الجهل وسكرة حب العيش وأنتم تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله فإذا ظهر فيكم حب الدنيا فلا تأمرون بالمعروف ولا تنهون عن المنكر ولا تجاهدون في سبيل الله والقائلون يومئذ بالكتاب والسنة كالسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء كرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, this ummah and in reality the entire humanity is passing through a phase or a period of great difficulty, of great problems, of great trials and tribulations. Such is the extent of the plight facing humanity that one verse of the Quran encapsulates or presents a very stark and a glaring picture of the current situation that humanity is passing through. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ كَالظُّلُمَاتِ فِي بَحْرِ اللُّجِّ يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ مَوْجْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ سَحَابْ ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ Quran depicts a pitch black night, one layer of darkness. Over and above that is the darkness of a raging storm. Above that, the darkness of the oceans. Above that, the darkness of the waves, one rising above the other. Darkness upon darkness upon darkness. Such is the extent of the darkness that Allah says, إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا If they have to take their hands and put it in front of their faces, they will not even be able to see their fingers. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ If Allah does not give them light, if Allah does not guide them, then who is going to give them light? Whether it is the so-called technologically and scientifically advanced first world countries, or whether it is the scientifically disadvantaged or so-called backward third world countries. Length and breadth of the world today, if you have to look, where in any direction, humanity has been overtaken. Such is the extent of darkness, the entire systems of this world have crumbled. Social structure, financial structure, broken homes have become the order of the day. Suicide rate is soaring like never seen before. Dependence on substances on a rate, on a level that has never been seen before. Crime, aggression, loss of life, loss of property, whichever direction you turn. Such is the level of problem and difficulty that this verse clearly describes the current situation. Darkness in every direction. What is the solution? How to come out of this darkness? What has brought about this plight, this difficulty, this situation? Whether it's the first world countries, whether it is the third world countries, humanity is caught up in such a web. They don't know in which direction to turn. What we have to understand primarily is that this world and everything that it contains is the creation of one Allah. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the creator of every shay. Mufassirin explain, what is shay? They say ma siwallah. Everything besides Allah is makhluq. It is a created entity. Not only has Allah created it, Allah's hukumiyat, Allah's hakimiyat, Allah's samadiyat, Allah's jabariyat is controlling every facet of this creation. Lahu ma fis samawat wa ma fil ard wa ma baynahuma wa ma tahta thara. Ala inna lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Ala inna lillahi man fis samawati wa man fil ard. Everything in the heavens, everything in the earth, everything between the heavens and the earth, everything beneath this earth belongs to Allah. For it to come into existence, it is dependent on Allah. For it to carry out whatever function or task it is carrying out, it is dependent on Allah. No makhluk, no created entity exhibits any property of its own accord. Fire is not burning of its own accord. Water is not flowing of its own accord. Water, if you ask them, what is water? They tell you H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Give them two tanks of hydrogen, give them one tank of oxygen, give them from now till Qiyamah, best laboratory, late best scientists. Wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, they will not produce one droplet of water also. Each and every makhluk, whether it is fire, whether it is water, whether it is earth, any direction we turn, whatever property it is exhibiting, it is not exhibiting that property of its own accord. It is exhibiting that property on the command of Allah. Everything that exists, whether we can see it, whether we cannot see it, whether we perceive its existence or we don't perceive its existence, everything ma siwallah, that which is besides Allah, is makhluk. And Quran's indelible decision, which can never ever be challenged. Allah in one verse describes makhluk, created entity, la yamlikuna li anfusihim dharran wala naf'a wala yamlikuna mawtan wala hayatan wala nushura. That which is makhluk, created, whether it's a pebble or a mountain, whether it's a grain of sand or the desert, whether it's a blade of grass or whether it is a jungle or forest, whether it's a wisp of air or whether it is a raging tornado, makhluk, of its own accord, la yamlikuna li anfusihim tarran wala nafa'a. It cannot benefit, it cannot harm, it cannot live, it cannot die, it cannot be resurrected except with the permission, qudrat, will and irada of one Allah. Lillahi mulku samawati wal ard. The kingdom, raj, dominion, control over every facet of this existence belongs to one Allah alone. This was the primary message of every Nabi of Allah, from Adam alayhi salam to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first effort, the first da'wat, the first invitation of every Nabi of Allah was to instill this total, complete conviction in the hearts of humanity that know and understand, fa'alam annahu La ilaha illallah. Rabbul Mashriq wal Maghrib, La ilaha illahu.
هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو. This message which Quran again and again sounds out, know and understand it is only one Allah. It is only one Allah. The doer is Allah. The maker is Allah. The controller is Allah. The advancer is Allah. The one who raises up is Allah. The one who brings down is Allah. The one who benefits is Allah. The one who harms Allah. Nothing in this entire creation moves or stops moving, exists or stops existing without the permission, qudrat, will and irada of one Allah. This conviction, this understanding, this perception to enter into the hearts of humanity, this was the first fundamental basic effort of every Nabi of Allah. And it constituted the basic da'wat and invitation of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that would resound through the alleys, through the gullies, through the streets of Makkah Mukarrama. Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Break down the reliance, break down the trust, break down the dependence, break down this conviction or this ability of the heart to take effect from every ghair. Take this out of the heart. Take ghairullah out of this heart and bring one Allah. Bring one Allah. Bring one Allah. Qulu la ilaha illallah. Tuflihu. Say la ilaha illallah. This is success. This is dignity. This is honor. The extent of the favors and the bounties of Allah upon us are such, my respected brothers. One verse of the Quran, Allah says, Alam taraw anna Allaha sakhara lakum ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ardi wa asbagha alaykum ni'amahu zahiratan wa batina. Allah says, why don't you see? Alam taraw, look at the manner in which Quran calls out. Alam taraw, why don't you see? Why don't you recognize? Why don't you acknowledge? أن الله سخر لكم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Allah has subjugated, put into the service of humanity, put into your and my service, everything in the heavens, everything in the earth. وأسبغ عليكم نعمه ظاهرة وباطنة. And Allah's ni'mat, Allah's bounties are raining down upon you. Asbagha alaykum ni'amahu. Zahiratan wa batina. Some are apparent, some you see, some are glaring. Wa batina, some are concealed. The extent of Allah's favors. Right now, I am speaking to you. My thought processes, which you cannot see, are being converted into electrical impulses. They are traveling at the speed of 124 kilometers per hour to my tongue. My tongue with its movement is forming sound waves, which you cannot see. If it was not for the wind of Allah, I can talk from now till Qiyamah, you will not hear a single word. Whatever I am uttering, these sound waves are being transported on the shoulders of Allah's wind. In each of your ears, there are 100,000 receptors for sound. Call it telephones. 100,000 telephones in each ear. At the back of the ear, there are three bones: hammer, stirrup, and anvil. These bones are a particular size and at a particular angle with each other. When a child is born, a newborn baby, these three bones are there. As the child grows, the head grows, the hands grow, the feet grows. The lungs grow, the heart grows, the liver grows, the kidneys grow, everything grows. But these three bones do not grow. They remain the same size and at the same angle. Why? Because to carry out their function and task, they need to be at that size and they need to be at that angle. What are they doing? They are amplifying the sound waves. At the back of the ear, there is a small pool of water, what we call the inner ear or the cochlea. Inside this pool of water, there is an object, the shape of a harp, a musical instrument. This has 6,000 strings. Each string vibrates to a different frequency of sound. The sound waves are amplified. These strings start vibrating according to the frequency, enabling this human being to hear a variation of 6,000 different frequencies of sound. When they start vibrating, they emit They emit an electrical impulse. Behind them are 18,000 nerve cells that magnify this impulse. Then it is carried at the speed of 124 kilometers per hour to your brain, and you are able to understand what I am saying. How many balances, how many counterbalances need to be in place just for this one process to take place? And how much do we acknowledge the favors of Allah? Allah calls out in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Allah says, if you have to enumerate, if you have to ponder, if you have to count, if you have to contemplate, one ni'mat of Allah, لا تُحْصُوهَا, you will never be able to do justice. And then Allah lovingly complains, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. This insan by nature, he's oppressive and very, very ungrateful for the ni'mats of Allah. One ni'mat of Allah, one bounty of Allah. And the tragedy, the travesty that is facing humanity today, my respected brothers, is the failure to recognize Allah. The failure to utilize these ni'mats and bounties which Allah has given us in a manner which is pleasing to Allah. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would stand on the musalla at night. Quran describes the night of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where Allah says, look at the beautiful manner in which Allah addresses his Habib. Inna rabbaka ya'lam, inna rabbaka ya'lam annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layl wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu wa ta'ifatun min alladhina ma'ak. Inna rabbak, O my beloved, verily your Rabb, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily your Rabb Allah, Allah is addressing, inna rabbak, your Rabb, whose Rabb? The Rabb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is addressing his Habib directly. Your Rabb knows that you are standing on the musalla at night, sometimes almost two-thirds the night, sometimes half the night. Imagine winter months, if the night was 12 hours long, what is Quran telling us? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand on the musalla for 6 hours and more. 6 hours of tahajjud salah. Our mother, Ummul Mumineen Aisha radiallahu anha, observing the manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would exert himself, comes in the riwayat, hatta tatafattara qadama, the mubarak feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would swell. Sometimes blood would come out. Lima fa'alta hadha ya Rasulullah, wa qad ghafara Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar. She says, oh my beloved, why are you doing this? What is the need for you to exert yourself like this, when Allah has already forgiven your past and future sins? Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, it is our aqeedah, our iman, our belief, all of them were ma'asum, were sinless. They had the mantle of ismat, they had the mantle of the protection from Allah of committing any sin. Anbiya were sinless. Yet, what is Allah saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar. And oh my beloved, we have given you a great victory. And what is Quran saying? Allah says, we have forgiven all your past and future sins. He was sinless. One interpretation ulama give of this, it is as if Allah is saying to him that should you commit a sin, it is already forgiven by Allah. That maqam, that status, and yet standing so long in the musalla at night till his mubarak feet would swell. So she says to him, Ya Rasulullah, what is the need? Why are you exerting yourself like this? What was the answer? What was the answer? What did he say? Afala uhibbu an akuna abadan shakura? Aisha, should I not be a slave of my Allah who is grateful to my Allah? Gratitude, utilizing the ni'mats and bounties of Allah in the manner that is pleasing to Allah. East and west, north and south, it appears today as if this humanity has openly declared war with Allah. Whichever direction you turn, flagrant violation of the commands of Allah. And then halat and conditions that we are faced with, such halat, it is as if the tide of aggression has turned against humanity. There was one article In a newspaper, famous newspaper, The Star, 1 or 2 years ago, journalist, non-Muslim, not a person of Iman, he writes, he observes. This article was written in February. He says it is only the second month. It is only the second month of the annual calendar. And already worldwide there have been 40 disasters. 40 natural calamities. 40 incidents of loss of life on a mass scale. A non-Muslim is saying, what is going on? Such is the level of perplexity. Humanity is astonished. They don't know which direction to turn. What is the irony? What is the tragedy that is facing us? They are without Iman. For them not to know in which direction to turn is understandable. Unfortunately, today those with Iman, those who have been given the Quran, those who have been given the Mubarak way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, instead of trying to understand the situation that is facing humanity in the light of Quran and Hadith, in the light of that ulum which reached us from the Arsh of Allah through the agency of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we are looking in other directions, blaming this and blaming that. Hazrat Mu'issu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali puts it beautifully. He says, Aaj ummat pareshani mein hai. Aur is pareshani se nikalne ke liye aise raaste istemal kar rahe jisse pareshani badhta hai. Today humanity is in a plight, in confusion. And it is trying to address its malady in those avenues and those directions which will in fact exacerbate and worsen the plight. Kaan khol kar sun lo bhai. Allah hum sab ko samajh de de. Any attempt to address the halat and conditions that are facing us, having removed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the equation, this will not solve the problem, this will worsen the problem. It is like taking an axe and striking it at your own foot. Halat and conditions in this world are in the control of Allah. Inna al-quwwata lillahi jami'a. Lillahi al-amru min qablu wa min ba'd. Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Fatabaraka Allahu rabbul alameen. Ma yaftahi Allahu lin-nasi min rahma. Fala mumsika laha. Wama yumsik fala mursila lahu min ba'di. Iyamsaska Allahu bidur. Fala kashifa lahu illa hu. Wa iyuridka bi khair. Fala radda li fadli. All these verses of the Quran that I've recited and many more. One basic primary message. No nation is harmed or benefited. No nation rises up or is brought down. Halat and conditions in this world will not come primarily without the permission, qudrat, will and irada of one Allah. We have to turn back to Quran and Hadith. We have to come back to Allah. That which Allah sounds out in the Quran. Fafirru ilallah. Fafirru ilallah. Fafirru ilallah. Any attempt to understand this situation, removing Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the equation, will never solve the problem. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which clearly illustrates the gradual decline. The gradual decline of humanity and this ummah on the basis of the amal of this ummah, where Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ. Fitna and fasad, test, trials, tribulations. ظَهَرَ have become arm, have caught up the entire humanity. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ. Over the land and over the seas. Why? بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Bima kasabat aidin nas. What is Quran telling us? These halat and condition primarily are because of the actions of humanity. And amongst humanity, primarily the actions of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to what is God goes up, accordingly decisions come from above. Abu Umama Bahili radiallahu ta'ala is the narrator of this hadith. And we find that this hadith is such that there are many other sahaba that narrated it slightly. Variations in the words, which gives us an understanding that perhaps this was an address of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a majma of sahaba. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, one narration. Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu, one narration. The narration of Abu Umama Bahili radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ulama say it is as if the taqdeer, The gradual decline of this ummah is outlined in this hadith. Where Abu Umama Bahili radiallahu ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion addressed Sahaba and said, Kayfa antum idh fasakha shubbanukum wa tagha nisa'ukum. He said, O my Sahaba, what will happen to my ummah? What will happen to my ummah when the youngsters of my ummah will become fasik and fajir? When the women of my ummah will become openly rebellious? When my ummah will no longer make the effort of deen? This proclamation or prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that it was met with absolute astonishment by Sahaba. What was their reaction when they heard this? They said, Awakainun dhalika ya Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, can such a thing happen? For us to appreciate, why did Sahaba react like this? Why were they so shocked? When Rasulullah said, what will happen when the youngsters will become fasik and fajir, openly violate the commands of Allah? For us to understand the shock and surprise and astonishment of Sahaba, we have to briefly glimpse at the youngsters of that time. What was the caliber of the youngsters of that time? One incident, on the occasion of Tabuk, few of the munafiqeen, the leader Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he had a private gathering with his confederates, other munafiqeen, they were pretending to be believers. They thought this was a private gathering. They discounted the presence of a young boy, Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu, 13 or 14 year old youngster. He was a young boy, so they discounted his presence. And what they did? They started openly mocking at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا. Abdullah bin Ubay bin said, don't spend upon those who are with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until they abandon him. لا يرجعنا إلى المدينة لا يخرجنا العز منها الأذل. When we return back to Medina from Tabuk, we, the honorable ones, will banish from Medina the disgraced ones, referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and companions, na'uzu billah. This youngster hears this, he's shocked. Abdullah bin Ubay would pretend to be a true believer. And he was a leader of one of the tribes of Medina. A prominent person. He's talking like this. Zayd bin Arqam couldn't believe his ears. He rushes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inform him of what Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul is planning. When Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul comes to hear that Rasulullah has been informed about our private conversation, he presents himself with his confederates, takes all types of qasams and oaths. Ya Rasulullah, this youngster is making up stories. He's speaking lies. I am your true companion. All types of qasams and oaths he takes. Allah's Rasul to preserve the peace gives Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul the benefit of the doubt. The whole family of Zayd bin Arqam turns against him. What is wrong with you? You are casting aspersions on the dignity of a true Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can you make up stories like this? Zayd bin Arqam says, I was overtaken with grief. وَقَعَ عَلَيَّ مِنَ الْغَمْ مَا لَمْ يَقَعَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ قَطُّ. No one has ever been caught up with grief like how I was caught up on that occasion. فَنِمْتُ كَئِيبًا حَزِينًا. He says, in the state of grief and sorrow, I went to sleep. Whose reputation had been tarnished? That of a youngster of that time, 13 or 14 years old. Where does this reach? Who comes forward in the defense? Allahu Akbar, Zayd bin Arqam says, I was sleeping. All of a sudden, harraka ala udhuni, I felt someone shaking my ears. When I opened my eyes, what did I see? Allahu Akbar, he says, I saw the shining and the beaming face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, smiling down upon me. My Nabi was happy with me. What? Look at the iman of the youngster of that time. What does he say? He says, if at that juncture Allah had offered me, O Zayd, I will give you eternity, a life till Qiyamah. I will shower the wealth of this world upon you in exchange for the smile of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, by the qasam of my Allah, فَمَا يَسُرُّنِي أَنَّ لِي بِهَا الْخُلْدِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. I would give up a life of eternity till Qiyamah in exchange for the happiness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I would have preferred that my Nabi be happy with me than all the wealth of this entire world. And then what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? قَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عُذْرَكَ وَصِدْقَكَ. Zayd, Allah has come forward in your defense. Quran has come down. The entire conversation of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul is reproduced in Surah Munafiqun. In defense of a youngster, to exonerate the reputation of a youngster of that time, the whole conversation reproduced. Humul ladina yaquluna la tunfiqu ala man inda rasulillahi hatta yanfadhu walillahi khazainu samawati wal ard walakinnal munafiqina la yafqahun yaquluna la in raja'na ila al madina la yukhrijanna al azz minha al adhal walillahi al izzatu wa li rasulihi wa lil mu'minin walakinnal munafiqina la ya'lamun. Such were the youngsters of that time. What were the women of that time? What was their ta'alluq with Allah? Umm Salima radiallahu anha comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She has a complaint. What is her complaint? She says, Mali asma'u rijal yuthkaruna fil Qur'an wa nisa'u la yuthkarn. She says, Ya Rasulullah, why is it that Allah only addresses the males in the Quran, the women, the females are not addressed? If you look at this complaint that she had from a grammatical context, this complaint is unfounded, because this is a rule of grammar in any language, that when there is a general address, the male tense or the male gender is used, even though everyone is being addressed, male and female. This is a normal principle of grammar. So her complaint, strictly speaking, was unfounded. But such was the ta'alluq of the women of that time with Allah. Ya Rasulullah, why are women not mentioned? Only Allah mentions the men. Jibreel is sent. Innal muslimina wal muslimat, wal mu'minina wal mu'minat, wal qanitina wal qanitat, was sadiqina was sadiqat, was sabirina was sabirat, wal khashi'ina wal khashi'at, wal mutasaddiqina wal mutasaddiqat, was sa'imina was sa'imat, wal hafidhina furujahum wal hafidhat, wal dhakirina Allah kathira wal dhakirat, a'adda Allahu lahum maghfiratan wa ajran azima. 10 categories Allah recounts in this verse of the Quran. Muslim men, Muslim women. Believing men, believing women. Obedient men, obedient women. The verse is lengthy, no time to go into the details. 10 categories. But what is the distinction of this verse? Male, female, male, female, male, female. Strictly speaking, this was not necessary. This was in cognizance of the complaint of Umm Salima radiallahu anha. Such was the ta'alluq the women of that time had. One elderly Sahabiya, Khola bint Salaba radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha is the narrator. Look at the manner in which Aisha radiallahu anha mentions this narration. She says, Tabarakalladhi wasi'a sam'uhul aswat. Blessed is my Allah whose hearing encompasses every facet of this creation. Her husband had given her a type of talaq. Aws bin Samit was the name of her husband radiallahu anhu. He had given her a type of talaq that was prevalent in the days of ignorance prior to Islam, where a limb of the part of the body of the wife is compared with the limb of perhaps one's mother or someone that is haram upon one. This was a type of talaq which would result in the two becoming, the marriage breaking down irrevocably, cannot be patched up. As yet in the Shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no hukum had come with regards to this type of talaq, what we call talaq is zihar. So as was the practice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if no new hukum had come, he would rule according to what was prevalent. So she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tazawwajani. My husband married me, tazawwajani zawji. Wa ana shabbatun ghaniyatun, dhu malin wa ahlin, hatta innahu akala mali wa afna shababi. وتفرق أهلي ونثرت له بطني ظاهر مني. Allahu Akbar. How does she put her situation? She says, Ya Rasulullah, I was a beautiful young woman. I had my family, I had my support structure around me. My husband married me. I gave him my youth. I gave him my life. I separated myself from my family. I bore his children. Now my body also is gone out of shape. Now I am elderly. I have nothing left. Now he gives me talaq-e-zihar. Now he separates himself from me. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hearing this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to rule according to what was prevalent. Harimti alay. Khawla, you are haram upon him. Your marriage is broken down. Innahu abu waladi wa habbun nasi ilayya. She says, Ya Rasulullah, he's the father of my children and the most beloved of people to me. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turns away. She's insisting, arguing. When Khawla sees that she's not getting the answer from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that she wants, what does she do? She says, you will not listen to me, I will turn to my Allah. Allahumma ashku ilayka shiddat akhali. She turns to Allah. She says, oh Allah, I want to place before you the difficulty and the plight that is facing me. Innali minhu sabiyat sibyatan sigara. In dhamamtuhum ilayya faja'u. Wa in dhamamtuhum ilayhi faza'u. Oh Allah, I have little children. If I leave them with him, he will not be able to look after them. If they are with me, how am I going to feed them? And then Ajib, according to one riwayat, what does she say? Anzil ala nabiyyik. O Allah, reveal upon your Nabi a hukam which is in my favor. That type of taluk with Allah. She's not just asking for a hukam. She's asking for a hukam in her favor, which went against what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. All of a sudden the athar of wahi are apparent. Aisha cautions Khawla, be silent. Wahi is coming down. After the wahi comes down, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turns to her. Beaming, smiling face. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ مَا هُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِهِمْ إِنْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّائِي وَلَدْنَهُمْ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَ مُنْكَرًا مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَزُورًا إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. This entire incident, Allah depicts it in such a manner that Allah heard the statement of the one who was complaining to you about her husband. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Then she turned and she placed a complaint before Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا. Allah was listening to your entire conversation. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I could not hear properly what Khawla was saying. From above the heavens, Allah heard her. One occasion, Umar radiallahu anha is walking in the streets of Medina. Khawla bint Salaba stops him. And then she says to him, Umar, remember the time in the bazaars of Ukaz, your name was Umair, no one knew you. Then you became Umar. And now today people are calling you Amirul Mu'mineen. Do not let this position go to your head. She's advising him, elderly woman. And then she goes on to say to him, Man ayqana bil maut. خاف الفوت ومن ايقن بالحساب خاف العذاب. She says, Umar, the one who has conviction on mort and death will fear the loss of this world and will understand this world is temporary. And the one who has conviction of hisab and accountability in the court of Allah will fear the hisab of Allah, that I will have to give reckoning before Allah. And the one who fears hisab, the one who has conviction in hisab will fear the azab of Allah. I will have to give hisab and recount for my life. She is advising Umar. Umar is moving with a delegation. She makes him stand on the street side for a long time. Those that are with Umar radiallahu anhu become worried, perplexed. What's happening? Ataqif hadha al-mawqif li hadha al-ajuz? They say, Amir al-Mumineen, you are standing so long listening to this elderly woman. Umar turns to them. He says, do you know who this is? Do you know who this is? لو حبستني من أول النهار إلى آخره ما زلت إلا الصلاة المكتوبة. والله by the قسم of my Allah, if she made me stand here from morning till night, I would do so. I would just read my first salah and come back. إنها خولة بنت ثعلبة سمع الله قوله من فوق سبع سماواته أذ يسمع رب العالمين قولها ولا يسمع عمر. He says, this is خولة بنت ثعلبة. Allah heard her speech. Allah heard her complain. Are you saying to me, Rabbul Alameen must listen to her and Umar must not listen to her? Such were the women of that time. Umm Saib radiallahu anha. Ajuz and Amya. Anas radiallahu anha is the narrator of the hadith. I'm cutting the incident short. He says, elderly woman, she comes to Medina Munawara. She, herself and her son, they had accepted Islam. They came to learn deen. The men to the men, the women to the women, as was the tartib in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The weather or the air of Medina does not agree with her son. He becomes terminally ill, then he passes away. His janaza is in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, are there any relatives? Sahaba say his elderly mother. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, send for her. Anas radiallahu anhu, the narrator of the hadith, says that Ummu Saib entered. Ajuzan amya. The words are found in the riwayat. Elderly and blind. She comes to the janaza of her son. Feeling with her hand, she feels his feet. She has a cry. She has a desire in the heart. Who is in front of her? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Great, great personalities. She has a desire. She does not request any one of them to make dua for her. Herself, she turns directly to Allah. Such was the effort that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made upon Sahaba ikram, that each one was linked directly to Allah. Each one was taught how to take directly from Allah. Such a great tamanna she has. She turns directly to Allah. Allahumma aslamtu laka tawa. Wa khala'tu al-awthana zuhda. وهاجرت إليك رغبة فلا تشمد بي عبدة الأوثان ولا تحمل لي من هذه المصيبة ما لا طاقة لي بحملها. What is the crux of her dua? She says, oh Allah, I accepted Islam willingly. I gave up idol worship with raghbat, with shawb. I made hijrat in your path to Medina Munawwara. What was the maqsad and object? To learn this deen, to take it back to her people. Sahaba understood. Acceptance of Iman and Islam, with it carried the effort of Dawud and Tabligh, the worry for the concern of the hidayat of the entire humanity. Ummu Saib says, I came to Medina to learn this deen, to take it back to my people. What is going to happen now? When I go back, they are going to taunt me. They are going to mock at me. That the curse and nahusat of your new religion took the life of your son prematurely. Ya Allah, la tuhammilni hadhi al-musiba. Wa la tushmid bi abadat al-uthan. Ya Allah, don't give these idol worshippers the chance to mock me like this. And to taunt me like this. What is she asking? Remove this obstacle. Remove this obstacle. I want to take this deen back to my people. Anas radiallahu anhu says, barely had she finished this dua, and her son removed the kafan from his body. He got up. He lived through the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the time of Abu Bakr, through the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he became shaheed in the time of Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Such were the women of that time. Coming back to this riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Sahaba, oh my Sahaba, what will happen to my ummah? When the youngsters will become fazik and fajir, when the women will become openly rebellious, Sahaba, and this ummah will no longer make the effort of deen. Sahaba couldn't understand this. They were perplexed. They were astonished. They said, awaka'inun dhalika ya Rasulullah. Can such a thing happen? What did my Nabi say? Walladhi nafsu Muhammadin biyadihi wa ashaddu minhu sayakun. By the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Worse than this will happen. Wama hiya ya Rasulullah, what can be worse than this? What did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Kayfa bikum idha taraktum al-amra bil ma'ruf wa nahya 'anil munkar. Oh my sahaba, what will happen to my ummah? When this ummah will turn its back on the effort of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. When this ummah will no longer enjoin good and forbid evil. When Dawud and Tabligh will come out of this ummah. Aisha radiallahu anha is the narrator of the hadith. She says, Dakhal alayya an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa'araftu fi wajhi anna qad hadarahu shay. Fama takallama ahad. Fatawadda fama takallama ahad. دخل المسجد صعيد المنبر حمد الله واثنى عليه فلصقت بالحجرة أسمع ما يقول. She says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered my hujra. Just looking at his noble countenance, I realized that something of great, great importance had occurred. Contrary to his normal practice, he would enter the house smiling affectionately. Here he didn't speak to anyone. He made wudu and he went into the masjid. Realizing the gravity of what had occurred, Aisha radiallahu anha says, I put my ears to the door, to the wall of my hujra, to listen attentively to what he had to say. He began the khutbah, and then he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, yaqulu Allahu ta'ala, O people, Allah says, Muru bil ma'ruf wanhu anil munkar. Muru bil ma'ruf wanhu anil munkar. In layman's terms, this ummah will have to do the work of Dawud and Tabligh. This ummah will have to enjoin good and forbid evil. This ummah will have to make the effort of deen. This wrong, this crime, this transgression of abandoning the responsibility of this, of the mansab, of da'wat which this ummah was given. What will happen? Such is the effect of it, that if you will not do so, if you will not enjoin good and forbid evil, then what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Allah says, قَبْلَ أَن تَدْعُونِي فَلَا أُجِيبَكُمْ وَتَسْتَنْصِرُونِي فَلَا أَنْصُرَكُمْ وَتَسْأَلُونِي فَلَا أَعْطِيَكُمْ. Such halat, such tests, such trials and tribulations will come upon you. At that time, you will make dua to me, I will not answer your duas. You will seek my help, I will not help you. You will ask from me, I will not grant you. Such is the gravity of this ummah turning its back on Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Khalik-e Kainat, Allah calls out in the Quran, Kuntum khayra ummah. Kuntum khayra ummah. This type of expression, what is it? Congratulations. Shabash. Mubarak. O ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the best of every ummah. Why? Why? Ukhrijat linnas. You were taken out. You were selected. You were chosen for the benefit of humanity. Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. Wa tanhawna anil munkar. Wa tu'minuna billah. You enjoin good. You forbid evil. You strive in the way of Allah. In other words, the concern and the worry of the hidayat of humanity was given to this ummah. Oh my sahaba. That which sahaba gave everything for. That which they made their wives, widows, their children, orphans. The worry and concern. The legacy of rahmat and mercy of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How every person on the surface of this earth can be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannah. That which was the test of the measure of iman of this ummah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying to sahaba, what will happen to my ummah when they turn their backs on that? Sahaba couldn't understand. Awakainun dhalika ya Rasulullah. Can such a thing happen? He said, Walladhi nafsu Muhammadin biyadihi wa ashaddu minhu sayakun. By the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, worse than this will happen. Wama hiya ya Rasulullah. What can be worse? Look at the gradual decline. One thing is leading to the other. One thing is leading to the other. Kayfa bikum idha ra'aytumul ma'rufa munkara wal munkara ma'rufa. Oh my sahaba, what will happen? What is the crux of this? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, what will happen to my ummah when the disobedience of Allah will become beloved to them? When the disobedience of Allah will become beloved. They will not be able to distinguish between halal and haram. Look around us. Gatherings, printed invitations, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam, an-nikahu min sunnati. Quran, hadith. And that entire gathering from beginning to end, every violation of Allah's command. Such gatherings, such, we don't even like to talk about it. Everything to invite the lanat and the curse of Allah. Music in every direction. Intermingling in every direction. Printed invitations to such gatherings. Parents purchasing with their hard-earned wealth what? DVDs, cartoons, techno gadgets that are destroying the iman of their children. Every home of the ummah, look. Every home of the ummah with our own wealth. We have brought into our homes those instruments which are destroying the iman of our children. Proposal rejected. Why? The youngster has got a beard. Somebody wants to divorce his wife. Why? My wife went into parda. What type of halat and situation are we facing? Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh my sahaba, what will happen? What will happen? When my ummah will consider haram to be halal and halal to be haram. When Allah's disobedience will become beloved to them. They said, Awakainun dhalik ya Rasulullah. Can such a thing happen? He said, Walladhi nafsu Muhammadin biyadihi. By the qasam of that being, in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Worse than this will happen. Look around us. He says, Allah take, when this happens, Allah will take an oath and a qasam bi halaftu. Sa'uti hanna lahum fitan. Yasirul halimu fiya hayran. By the qasam of my izzat and my jalal, I will set such fitnas upon them. Somewhere the waters of the oceans rose. Somewhere the earth shook. Somewhere boulders fell down from the heavens. Someday the faces of people became emaciated. Somewhere the rivers are flowing with the blood of this ummah. In every direction, Allah says, Bima kasabat aydin nas, fitna and fasad is spread. Why? Because of the actions primarily of this ummah. Why? Not because Allah has forsaken us. La'allahum yarji'un. La'allahum yarji'un. La'allahum yarji'un. So that you come back to Allah. So that you knock the door of tawbah. No malaika is going to come down with some chitti. That listen, the gutter when it gets full, 10%, nobody worries. When it's 50% full, nobody worries. When it's 80% full, people become a little bit worried. When the gutter overflows, what happens? Then a deluge and a flood comes. Such is the level of masiyat, the need, the cry, the call of the hour. My respected brothers, is to go door to door, person to person. Link one person back with Allah. Do that which Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came with. That which was the day and night and the cry of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On one incident I will terminate. And who greater in authority to tell us about this than our mother Ummul Mumineen Aisha radiallahu anha. She describes the night of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muslim Sharif riwayat one particular night. She says, my Nabi was in the musalla and he started crying. The tears were rolling down his cheeks into his beard, from his beard into the ground, sobbing and crying. The whole body was shaking. She says he began recounting in his dua, the duas the previous Anbiya made. He said to Allah, oh my Allah, Ibrahim Khalilullah said to you, فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Those who follow me, they are from me. Those who do not follow me, وَمَنْ عَصَانِي, who become disobedient to me, إِنَّكَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. You are most forgiving, most merciful. Forgive them if you want, take them to task if you want. Isa Ruhullah said, إِنْ تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Oh my Allah, if you punish them, they are your slaves. If you forgive them, you are mighty and wise. And then she says, he started crying. Crying to such an extent, saying over and over again, Rabbi ummati, ummati, Rabbi ummati, ummati, Allah my ummat, Allah my ummat, Allah my ummat. What was he saying? Ya Allah, Anbiya made dua to you, forgive them if you want, take them to task if you want. Allah my ummat, forgive them. And if you don't want to forgive them, still to forgive. Such was his cry. A father whose entire family is burning in a house in front of him and he can do nothing to help them. How will he cry? A mother whose only child is dying in front of her and she cannot do anything to preserve the life of that child. How will she cry? By the qasam of my Allah, the cry of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was more than this. The worry of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was more than this. His cry made the malaika cry. His cry made the arsh of Allah cry. Sobbing and crying, Allah sends Jibreel with a question. What is the question? Oh my Habib, why are you crying like this? Ask ourselves the question, my respected brothers. Allah doesn't know. Oh my Habib, why are you crying like this? Allah didn't know. Allah knew. Why was this question asked? Why was this question asked? Why are you crying like this? My respected brothers, the reason this question was asked, if this question was not asked, then these nights would have remained a secret between Habib and Mahbub. These nights would have remained a secret between Allah and His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This question was asked so that you and I, the businessman of the 14th century of Islam, whose entire focus of his existence is the increase of his wealth. Every command of Allah is being broken. Riba in every direction. Treachery in every direction. The concern, the worry of 6 or 7 billions akhirat is less in his heart than the pursuit of his material aspirations and desires. So that the youngster of the 14th century of Islam, whose both ears are clogged with those earphones and whose body is jiving to the music, and so that the young girl of the 14th century of Islam, who despite being dressed, we know the manner in which she is parading openly in public, every one of them, every one of these categories, become aware, Become aware, become conscious. Who are you hurting? Who have you turned your back upon? That Nabi who Quran comes down. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا مَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِجَبَّارٍ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ كُفْرُ. How many verses? Allah says, oh my Nabi, lessen your fikr, lessen your fikr, lessen your fikr. Or else you are going to destroy yourself. One verse of the Quran, wallah. We can't even translate it. No translation can do justice to the hasrat, the dard, the pain, the concern in the heart of Rasulullah ﷺ that is described in this verse, where Allah says to his beloved, فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتِ. Oh my Nabi, with your hasrat, with your regret, are you going to finish yourself? Are you going to perish with your hasrat and grief on your worry over them? The amal of this ummah are being presented to him. The manner in which this ummah turned their backs on his qurbani and sacrifice. Two stones he would tie to his stomach. His daughters were given talaq in public. 6 miles in Taif he was pelted. His near and beloved ones were slaughtered in front of him. Behind this word, this concern, this dard, this cry, this pain, how one person can be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannah. Quran comes down, Nabi, oh my Nabi, listen your fikr. Where is this cry today? Where is this dard today? Where is the recognition? Where is the recognition in Ummah today? On the plains of Mina and Arafat, the riwayat Ibn Kasir, rahimullah, what did he say? He said, لا نبي بعدي ولا أمة بعد أمتي فليبلغ الشاهد منكم الغائب. He said, no other Nabi to come after me. No Ummah to come after this Ummah. So this responsibility of Dawat and Tabligh, this concern, this compassion, this legacy of rahmat and mercy of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he was a mercy for every human being to come till Qiyamah. This responsibility has fallen through the barakat of the khatm nubuwat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the shoulders of this ummah. Every ummati, every reciter of kalima, every reciter of kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every believer that no new Nabi is to come, 6-7 billion insan on the surface of this earth, they are going like ants towards Jahannam. Whose cry is this? Whose concern is this? Whose worry is this? Ukhrijat linnas. Allah says, you were taken out, you were selected, you were chosen for the benefit of humanity, for the hidayat of humanity. This is not an ordinary ummah. This is an ummah that was entrusted to make its day the day of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Its night the night of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Its worry, its concern, that of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my Nabi, why are you crying like this? What does he say to Jibreel? The worry of my ummah is making me cry. The worry of my ummah is making me cry. Jibreel goes back to Allah. Allah sends him back with a message, consolation. Sanurdhika fi ummatik. Sanurdhika fi ummatik. Sanurdhika fi ummatik. Oh my beloved, we will make you happy with regards to your ummah. We will make you happy with regards to your ummah. Abdullah bin Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, explaining this, he says, La arda Muhammad wa wahidun min ummatihi fi nar. La arda Muhammad wa wahidun min ummatihi fi nar. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never be happy. Will never be happy as long as one ummati is in Jahannam. This cry, this concern, this worry. Our elders are saying, my respected brothers, Allahu Akbar. Our elders are saying, aaj sharabi sharab peekar. Today the drunkard drinks liquor. Thori bi ehsas, to some extent the perception is there in the heart, I have done something wrong. The thief steals, he has the perception in his heart that I'm doing something wrong. The zani commits zina, the perception is there in the heart, I have done something wrong. They are saying today the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have turned their backs on the worry of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the perception is not even there. The realization is not even there. That there is something missing from my life. That I have not identified with the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our elders are saying, Bulge, or ye bhi bulge ke bulge. We forgot. Nasya mansiya, out of the minds, out of the hearts. Halat and conditions. Quran is telling us, La'allahum yarji'un, come back to Allah. What does it mean? Embrace the way of life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Allah will never change the condition of a people until they themselves do not change. Ijtimaas like this, my respected brothers, there will be those amongst us. There will be those amongst us that had a level of curiosity. There will be those amongst us that felt, let me just attend the Jummah. There will be those amongst us that made a lot of effort, a lot of qurbani to come here out of curiosity just to see what is going on. My respected brothers, our humble appeal to every one of you. To every one of you, Allah give us the understanding. Every one of us make this intention and this determination. From now till I die, the work of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be the object of my life. The worry of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will become my worry. This ishtima is for that. When ishtima was going to take place, someone asked Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abidin sahab rahmatullah alayhi. They asked him, Hazrat, ye kiska ishtima hai? Whose ishtima is this? What an ajeeb answer he gave. He said, bye, my brother. The last person to come before Qiyamah. The last human being to come on the surface of this earth before Qiyamah. For him to be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannah. For the worry of that person, this ishtima is. This is not the Lodium ishtima or the Lens ishtima or the Benoni ishtima or the Transvaal ishtima. No. This is the ishtima of the worry of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is for the next 72 hours to take us back 14 centuries. To take us back to the Mubarak environment of Madinah Munawwara. Bring in front of us again what the day of my Nabi was. What the night of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. What Masjid al-Nabawi was. What his cry, what his concern, what his worry was. What the way of life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. This is not a jamaat, this is not an organization. This is not to increase membership, no. This is to connect one person to Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So a humble appeal. Our humble appeal, my respected brothers, whatever reason we have come here for, Allah brought us, it is His favor, it is His kindness, it is His shafqat. Wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, no one came here of his own accord. Allah brought us. Recognize this favor. Recognize this favor. Make qadr and show Allah our appreciation by every one of us making near that inshallah, till the final dua, we will not leave this gathering. All of us say inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq.